You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Let's do it again. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light.
1 Peter 2:9. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 9:8. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Colossians 2:5. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Colossians 2:5. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Colossians 2:5. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We spend a moment in prayer this evening before we begin our study. All of us are aware of the fact that studying God's Word is a magnificent and wonderful privilege. We find ourselves in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, and again this evening in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. May we pray together before we begin our study this evening. Father, we bow with grateful hearts this evening once again to express our great love for the one who loved us so very much. We are aware of the fact that our Heavenly Father loved the world so much that he was willing to give his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And Father, we express tonight our thanks for the fact that we're members of that magnificent family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, not because we deserve this, not because we're worthy of it, not because of anything we've done to be able to receive it, but totally because of the fact that this is a wonderful gift from God to all of us, a gift of grace. We realize that the Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. So tonight, Father, we're thankful that we're your children, and we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings and promises that you give us every single day. Bless, we pray, these moments of study this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen you see Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to read this verse in a few moments, but I want to begin this evening by telling you that every day for all of us is a day of wonderment and challenge. And I realized that that was going to be true of this particular day. So this morning, I found myself on the internet and I just hit to record for myself promises, promises from God. I felt like that I would be interested in just seeing what I could find. And so I typed in the word promises. Promises from God. And a number of scriptures came up And I felt impressed to record those and share them at the beginning before we begin our study tonight on Ephesians 2:12. I read 2 Peter 1:4. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. What I realized was that as I printed these verses, that I did not print them in the large font so that I would be able to put them on the overhead machine. But I think it's okay for me to just place these up here, and even though you may not be able to read them from where you're sitting, I can read them to you. 2 Peter 1:4. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You will notice that the next one is Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Many of you have already memorized that passage. It's a magnificent one. You might want to write it, record it, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Then I found Matthew 11:28-29. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I'll read that again, Matthew 11:28-29. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The next passage I found was Isaiah 40:29-30-31. "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." I thought that was a magnificent passage. You may want to record Isaiah 40:29-30-31. "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even young people will become weak and tired, and young men will fail or fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Then you'll notice we have Philippians 2:19. Most of you already memorized this passage, Philippians 4:19. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. And then most of us remember these verses, Romans 8:37-39. "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even, and I guess I didn't get that, But that's okay. Oh, I did get it. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. And then as I was recording, typing this out, I noticed that there was a little square up in the corner, and it had Proverbs 1:33. And when I looked at it, here's what I read. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. You may want to record that one, Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And then I have it typed out again, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. And then John 14:27, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind, peace of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. I thought you would enjoy these verses. They were a blessing to me this morning. I needed them, and I take it that you too also need them. Ephesians 2:12. Most of you are aware of the fact that last Sunday we took a long look at this particular verse. We exegeted the verse for you. We emphasized it in great detail. I went back and listened again to the second service last Sunday and realized that it was a very brief sermon, but a tremendous amount of information was given in a very brief period of time. I listened to it. My head ached a little bit, just like yours oftentimes will when you hear me preaching so rapidly and giving so much information. But anyway, I was glad that I was able to hear it again. I want you to be able to see that tonight I've chosen this same verse, but I picked out only one word. Let's look at it, if you will, please. Ephesians 2:12 says that you were at that time, that's before salvation, you were at that time without Christ, having been alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And I remembered that when I was showing you this passage of Scripture at the second session, I pointed out the fact that there were just three Greek words that were left at the top of the page. I have them here tonight for you to see again. The first one was A-T-H-E-O-I-E-N. The second one was T-O, which is an article, the. And the third one was K-O-S-M-O, or which is K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. And I reminded you last Sunday, very briefly, that when you look at this word here, you will see that it is a letter A, then T-H-E-O-I-E-N. And immediately you're able to see that the word theos, T-H-E-O-S, is the proper name, the proper noun, God. But when you look at this word, you will see that it has at the beginning of it a little A, which is known in the Greek as the alpha privative. And so whatever this word is, with that little A at the beginning, it shows the opposite of it. And so if it emphasizes being godly, then with that little A in front of it, it emphasizes the opposite of being godly, which means to be godless. And so it says godless in the world. So what I did, I translated that verse with what I classify as a smooth translation. You're looking at it, if you can see clearly where you're sitting, Ephesians 2:12 from the English and the Greek. But now I'm going to present on the screen a smooth translation. Remember that. At that time, while you were lost, you were separated from Christ, and then, having been alienated from the citizens of Israel, and aliens from the covenants of the promise, not having future expectation, godless in the devil's world. I'm sure that you're able to see that we have emphasized some magnificent words in verse 12. It shows us what these individuals were in relationship to their pre-salvation days and their post-salvation days. And we've already looked at that in great detail, so we'll not reiterate all of those facets. I do want you to see, though, that we're being reminded by the Apostle Paul and the Spirit of God that these individuals, the Ephesian believers, are to remember that at that time, emphasizing now their experience, not the experience of the Jews of the past, remember that at that time, while you were unsaved, you were separated from Christ, you were alienated from the citizens of Israel, and aliens from the covenants of the promise, and not having future expectation, godless in the devil's world. Now, if you will, you will check carefully and you will see when you go back to the original text, and I have it on the screen now again for you, let's look at it and see what we have here. You will see that it says, at a time in the past, you were without Christ, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, and then, here's the word that I want you to see for this evening, having no hope. And I'll look at this word, E-L-P-I-D-A, Elpida, which is the word for hope. And you follow it with a word that is not the strongest negative adverb. You remember that there are three major strong negative adverbs. I've given them over and over and over again. And then I've emphasized that there's one negative adverb that normally goes with a verb in the subjunctive mood. And that's what I find right here. And it is the little Greek negative adverb me, M-E. Now, what this is telling me is that it's possible for people to not have hope, but it is also possible for people to have hope. And so we have an emphasis here upon having hope. And then you'll notice how I translated it when I gave you a smooth translation. Notice, if you will, please, it says, from the covenants of the promise, not having future expectation. So the word hope then would be translated as I have it here, future expectation. Most of us remember, we have memorized Romans 8:28, which says we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. When we were studying this in past years, over and over again, we said this is a presentation of God's plan for mankind, which is joy, peace, contentment, happiness, hope. And we emphasize time and time again, and as I'm telling you this, some of you is going to begin to register, and you're going to remember what we've passed in the past have preached to you on the subject of Romans 8:28, where it says we know, perfect tense verb, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. When we emphasize that, we emphasize various facets in relationship to this magnificent subject of hope. And we've said that there is hope one. You remember? We said there's hope two, and there's hope three. Just by my mentioning this, most of you now have some things rolling back into your mind where you have studied with us over the years on this magnificent subject of hope. Hope one, hope two, hope three. I would encourage you to write those three words down. Hope 1, Hope 2, Hope 3. We're not going to explain this and expound on it. I only want to give it to you simply. Hope 1 has to do with salvation, which simply is what we call positional sanctification. In other words, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, they're placed into God's family, they have hope. And so hope one would be salvation. Hope two would be what you and I know as experiential sanctification, or advancing as a spiritual individual. That's what we call hope two. Like I said, I'm not going into any detail now because I know that most of you remember this, but there's hope one, which has to do with salvation. There's hope two that has to do with your life and mine now as we live our Christian lives on a day-by-day basis. And then there is hope three. I would imagine that most of you now, even if you haven't heard this before, have already concluded what hope three is. Hope three is that time when we leave this life and we're in God's presence throughout eternity. In the past, what we've done for you, we've called this the XYZ situation. On the screen now, you can see very quickly, X, which is hope one, Y, which is hope two, and Z, which is hope three. Like I said, I am not explaining this evening. I'm only presenting this to let you see that we've been down this road many, many times in the past. Hope one is positional sanctification. Hope two is experiential sanctification. Hope three is ultimate sanctification. That's the reason why Romans 8:28 is such a magnificent verse indeed. And it says, and we know, if we know anything at all, and we know that to the ones loving God, God is in the process of working all things together for good to the ones according to His purpose being called. Now that is not a smooth translation. That is more or less a word-by-word presentation from the original language. I will take a moment to let you see something. It says, and we know. And the word know here is what is known as a perfect tense verb, which means knowing it in the past, knowing it with the consummation of the details, and the continuation of those details to this very present moment. And we know, then it says, to the ones loving God. Now, I've already said that the word know here means that it emphasizes something that's completed, the results continuing. So it's, as you can see, is a perfect tense of oida, O-I-D-A. To the ones loving is the present active participle of agapao. Most of us remember the name agape, a noun, and agapao, the verb. But let's see what the content is here. We know, if we know anything at all, we know this, that to the ones loving God, God is in the process of working all things together for good. Now, let me show you something else. He's in the process of working all things together for good. And the type of good this is agathos, which is God's good or intrinsic good. Now, you can see that I would enjoy going into detail on all these words, but I'm not going to do that, but I want you to see an overview. And we know that to the ones loving God, God is in the process of working all things together for good, that is, to the ones according to His purpose have been called. Now, what I'm seeing tonight is a very enthusiastic congregation. I'm always happy when I see an enthusiastic congregation. So I want you to know that I see enthusiasm. And I want you to see that since I see enthusiasm, I would like for you to remember that the word that I've chosen, only one word out of this magnificent verse, is the word hope. I would ask you, if you will, to look back with me at Ephesians 1:18. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "The eyes of your understanding, having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope, confident expectation, permanent knowledge of his calling." Now, this is Ephesians 1:18. We're in Ephesians 2:12 now. All I'm trying to do is remind you that we covered Ephesians 1:18. And in that verse, it says, "The eyes of your understanding, having been enlightened, that you may know," this is not just casual, this is an understanding, comprehension, "that you may know what is the hope," there's that Greek word, hope, elpis, "confident expectation, permanent knowledge of his calling." Then he goes on to say, "the riches from the source of the glory of his inheritance in the sphere of the saints." I put in parentheses here, the word inheritance is the Greek word which means unlimited resources. If I were you, I would write somewhere in my notes, "God desires for us to have unlimited resources." God is not limited in any way. And this scripture says that you and I have the responsibility of having what we call confident expectation. When I go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 25, here's what I read. "But if what we do not see, we hope for through patience, we eagerly expect it." Now we're going to pause for a little while and let you have some time to think with me about the meaning of this verse, Romans 8, 25. "But if what we do not see, we hope for." For those things about which we do not see, we hope for. Through patience, we eagerly expect it. Patience here is a beautiful word. It is the Greek word hupomone. Hupo is a prefix or preposition under. Mone means to remain. So it means that when we have patience, we have the ability to remain under certain circumstances and be able to see far more than what is entailed by those specific circumstances. Please understand that next Sunday, for the insert in your Sunday bulletin, you're going to see actually what I'm emphasizing now, even though I'm not going into detail about it at this moment. Romans 8:25 says, "But if what we do not see, we hope for." The things that we cannot see materializing, coming to pass in our presence at this particular moment, we have anticipation, great expectation for those things. Okay. And we have this by means of hupomone, through patience. Okay, quickly, you might want to write a point or two. When a person is saved, that person has the reality of hope. When you accepted Christ as Savior, Christ saved you, and that was hope accomplished, hope consummated. You have the reality of that hope. In other words, believing the gospel, accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, has moved you to the point of reality of salvation. So we call it hope won, realized. Number two, after salvation, the believer has another opportunity of making another potential a reality. After salvation, the believer has another opportunity of making another potential a reality. What am I saying? A perceptive believer can advance rapidly if he or she chooses to. And this is the opportunity of what we call maturity. In other words, maturity becomes excitingly real to us. Let's call this hope too. This is anticipation of great blessings upon our earthly journey. We're traveling now in our earthly journey. This is what we call the experiential sanctification. Perceptive believers, no matter what the situations of life are, we realize who's in charge. We realize who knows from beginning to the end and all in between. And so we have great anticipation for the reality of hope two. Number three on the screen now, hope one and two are fulfilled by imputation. We could go into a long discussion on imputation, but we won't do that now. Number four, the hope of blessing is replaced by reality of blessing at salvation, and the hope of advance becomes a reality at the time we are advancing. So number five, these blessings are anticipated through hope and realized when God imputes all these things to us. Number six, hope one, hope two are realized in time, which is salvation, realized, maturity, advanced, realized. But another hope is hope three. And this hope three is fulfilled in eternity. I jotted myself a little note to read to you. We cannot see while we are here on this earth the blessings from God that are designed for us for eternity. We cannot see while we are here on this earth the blessings from God throughout eternity, but we understand that these are imputed blessings. And these imputed blessings will give to us what we classify as confident anticipation. Touching? No. Realizing in reality now? No. Eternal home? Do we have any idea or concept of what the eternal home will be like? A resurrection body? Do we have any idea what a resurrection body is going to be like? These are things we do not have the ability to fully comprehend now, but we have the assurance that God has promised these things for us. So, we call it confident anticipation. We have the promises related to our eternal home. We have the promises in the Word of God related to our resurrection body. And we have the promises of God related to a glorious presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the future. What a magnificent and marvelous blessing God has for us. I'm just wondering whether I should stop right there and let you have some moments of silence to think about this. The word that I presented, one word from this verse, is the word hope. Glorious, magnificent expectation. How far are we from being in the presence of our Lord throughout eternity? We do not know. It could be many years from now. It could be real soon. The most important thing that I can say to you tonight is, it is important for you and me to be aware of the fact that the life we now are living is a gift from God. We should appreciate and thank Him for this magnificent time He's allowed us on this earth. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize this evening that life is such a wonderful gift. And we're thankful this evening again for the ability to look at the word hope this evening, to be able to comprehend again our position in Christ, positional sanctification, realizing again how fantastic it is for us to have some time to advance and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, experiential sanctification. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the assurance that every person in this auditorium, every person hearing my voice who's accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, one of these days will be absent from this body, but will be in the Lord's presence forever. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that Jesus saves. And for those who have yet not accepted you, they could do that right now and have this magnificent eternal life. We know that the Scripture so beautifully says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the only one born of its kind. And we realize that this Scripture goes on to say that whosoever accepts this gift of salvation has everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, accept Him, would not perish but have everlasting life. We thank You for this time together tonight. Help us to appreciate what You have done, what You're doing, what You will do for all of us. And we thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.